You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about chaplaincy and the Zen path. Our guest is Gendo Allen Field, born and raised in Connecticut. Yankee Gendo studied with Joshu Sasaki Roshi, attending some 80 sesshins over a period of 40 years, and he received ordination as a lay monk in 2003. He also received Temple Osho ordination from Sandy Stewart Gente in 2013. He currently leads practice at the Upper Valley Zen Center in White River Junction, Vermont. He completed a hospital chaplaincy training at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in 2016. Gendo leads a student Zen practice group at Dartmouth College. He provides support to Zen practice at Concord State Prison in New Hampshire and is employed part-time as a chaplain at the Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. Gendo and I practiced Zen together at Mount Baldy Zen Center for many years, and among many other things, he taught me how to drywall. And we talk once a week now about life and practice, and I really appreciate having Gendo as an advisor and a friend. Hey, Gendo, how you doing?
Good. Likewise. I return the favor.
Yeah. Well, let's start out, Gendo, by why don't you tell us what the job of a chaplain is like?
Well, I think that there are a couple of different ways that I look at that, depending on the situation. I'm going to focus in particular on the hospital chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. To begin with, because that's been a rather major focus of the last 4 years for me. And I want to begin, I'll begin by just saying a little bit about my motivation for going into a hospital chaplaincy.
Yeah, good.
I was already seeing patients in the hospital on occasion because of my role in the Zen Center. And so I wanted to be more thoughtful about it, and I realized the hospital had training that they were providing called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. And even though they had never, as far as I know, never trained someone from a Buddhist background in that program, I applied and they were very welcoming of me. And so I followed their regimen for training over a period of about 3.5 years. And in that situation, my role as a chaplain was to go into hospital rooms, to go to a particular floor, a particular section of the hospital, and visit whoever was there and find out who would want to talk to somebody, and not necessarily from a specific religion, but just maybe someone having a hard time who wanted to have support or have an opportunity to talk to someone who was not just poking them with needles or asking them medical questions. And so That was my role as a trainee in the training program. We were thrown into the hospital situation, given an opportunity to talk about our experience, but essentially it was a hands-on learning experience.
Was it hard?
Well, in some very interesting ways, there would be occasions when you'd be thrown into a really difficult situation. I remember in particular one emergency case where a man was brought into the emergency room. He had been cutting down trees with his son, his 15-year-old son. And the son had cut down a tree that fell on his father and hit him on the head and caused very serious brain injury. So it was a problem of dealing with this man who was really close to death, and dealing with his family and his son, who was just so desperately heartbroken. And, you know, sometimes in the midst of a situation like that, you're doing the best you can, and it's only a day or two later that you realize that you've carried some burden from the experience that feels very hard.
Mm. Also so helpful, though. I can imagine in a situation like that to have somebody whose role is not the doctor or the nurse, but somebody who is there to really help support everybody emotionally.
Yes. And I think so much of the role of a chaplain in that kind of situation, from my standpoint, is someone who can just be there, and in a very ordinary way, can just be there and listen and carry on conversation, hear what people are thinking and feeling, and, you know, without having really without having a mechanical role.
Hmm.
And that's, I think, so much of the training, and the training that we do as Zen practitioners that was so important to me was just that reflection on oneself, or recognition of what's going on for you personally. And to recognize the ways that walking into a situation like that really triggers all kinds of other emotional reactions on my part, you know, having to do with my own experience of death in my own family, having to do with my own feelings about my own death, and that you really can't enter into a situation like that and be that ordinary person without having inspected that stuff for yourself.
And part of that inspection happened on the cushion for you, no doubt. But I also imagined that part of it happened in the class. Was the class meaningful?
It happened in the class, and it happened, well, yes, it happened in the class because the program created this wonderful opportunity to meet with other chaplain interns who were doing the same work, and to sit together and tell the story of difficult situations that we encountered, and to have the feedback of other people who would comment not just on the details of what I described, but would also reflect on my own behavior or my approach, or maybe ask questions about things that maybe I didn't think of in that instance. And that kind of feedback was extremely helpful.
You were ordained as a Buddhist teacher, and you began leading a practice group. But what was it in particular that led you to explore this profession of being a chaplain? You mentioned that you would now and then be called to the hospital, but was there something else that called you, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, and I was thinking about that today and yesterday, that I think I was also inspired by some of the turmoil that was going on in our Zen community. Turmoil around sexual misconduct on the part of our teacher. For me, I felt that I wanted some way that I could test the training that I had been through, or understand the way that training was helpful to the world outside of the sphere of my little Zen community, to understand ways that my Zen training had some relevance to people in distress that was, regardless of the Buddhist terminology, regardless of the language that we use to talk about these things. And so it was a way, I think, for me of touching the piece of my practice and the piece of my training that had some real value and utility in the world at a time when I was feeling myself a certain amount of confusion and struggle.
Hmm. And how's that been? Has that been, in a way, healing for you?
I think so. I think it was very reassuring for me to understand that I really did have something to offer to people, and that my meditation practice, my training as a Zen student, was really very good preparation for the kind of emotional encounters that that I was up against in the hospital. And I think it was also training that was deeply respected by the other people in this program, people who had gone through divinity school, who were ministers in a local church, or had some, you know, very clear role in terms of their own religious tradition, but were very respectful of the training that I had received. And I guess the other part was that even though I've spent so many years studying Buddhism, and it's been for more than half my life, it's been a major focus of my practice, nonetheless, I'm still a Connecticut Yankee, and I still carry the language and the residue of Christian culture with me. It's not that the questions that people would ask me about, you know, that were from a Christian standpoint were entirely strange to me. But I was able to bring my view from Buddhist practice into something like the Lord's Prayer, which I still know by heart from my childhood. I felt like I was able to bring a perspective on what that really meant in a way that was sometimes surprisingly helpful to people in the hospital.
Hmm. So coming from a Buddhist perspective, you don't feel like that's been a hindrance, even if you're helping somebody who's a Christian?
Yes, and I guess for the same reasons that I was drawn to Buddhism in the first place, in spite of my Christian upbringing, I felt that I had a perspective. I was able to bring a perspective in some situations to what seemed to me a theological trap. For example, a patient who would say something like, "My husband has gone to heaven, and here I am stuck down below here on my hospital bed suffering." That construct, which was clearly not being very helpful to that woman at that moment, and I felt that I was able to help her see that there were ways that she could do things in her life that still brought her husband into her life, and that relationship was still active and present in her life in a way that theological construct didn't recognize.
Hmm. Maybe you've already answered this, Gendo, but how do you think that being a chaplain has impacted your own spiritual life?
I guess that there's a kind of confidence that I've gained from entering into some pretty dire situations in the hospital and then feeling like I really had something to offer. A kind of confidence that, you know, that I have something to offer outside of just the language and stories of Buddhism. Hmm. And that I think that was, like I say, that was partly my intention in going into this in the first place. And I feel like also the respect that I received in that situation from other people, other chaplains from different faith backgrounds was really a source of confidence for me. I feel like I enter into a dire situation where somebody's struggling with life and death questions with a different, I don't know, I guess a kind of confidence that I, you know, can be present in that situation, and just by being present in a certain way that I can be helpful.
Has that helped in your prison work and also with the university
Yes,
students too?
Yeah, the prison is a very different situation. In the prison, I'm for the most part with people who have been very serious meditators for on a regular basis. Mm. I mean, these are men who are engaged in some cases in a meditation practice for 2 or 3 hours a day, and they've been doing this for 10 and 12 years in prison.
Wow.
And so these are, at least in certain cases, these are very serious practitioners. There are also people who have a lot of time on their hands. They do a lot of reading, and they can quote Rinzai. I mean, so I really have to be on my toes when I go into the prison. But there's also a way that they are also dealing with some very heavy stuff, dealing with the heavy stuff of what they've done in their life that's ended them up in prison, dealing with the culture of prison, which is pretty, pretty difficult. And so sometimes I end up leaving a visit to the prison, and it's that same heaviness that I experience from witnessing a death in the hospital.
Mm. Well, Gendo, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us and opening up that world of chaplaincy.
Yes, you're very welcome. And thank you. Thank you for arranging this.
Yeah, sure. Talk to you next week.
All right, great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Crossing. For more information about the Puget Sound Zen Center, go to pszc.org.